Ladies and gentlemen, hello and welcome to this, your favorite podcast for all things St. Joe's basketball, Hawk Talk. This is Peter Carney, your host. As always, I'm joined by Tony Morelli. Tony, the season's over, which means it's March, and we have 8 months between now and St. Joe's playing basketball again. How does that make you feel?
I really thought that the St. Joe's season was going to end April 4th, and to say I'm disappointed would be an understatement for where I'm feeling right now in the college basketball realm. Now, all jokes aside, Pete, that was not a bad ending to the season. I'm feeling very good. We've had some big discussions here at Hawk Talk that we're going, next stop the moon. We're on our way to the tippy top of the mountain. And so I think I'm feeling pretty good. I'm feeling pretty good. I'm ready for March Madness. I'm going to track VCU very closely. I'm rooting for them very hard to represent the conference, get us a little money, a little extra cash. Nothing would be better than a Sweet 16 run for the Rams. And yeah, I think that's where I'm at. Pete, I know from the Twitter spaces, you're feeling pretty good too.
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good. I also booked a hotel room for April 3rd down in Texas, but I'm doing okay. I personally thought the season would go a little bit longer, but I'll deal with it, and yeah, Tony, those spaces have been awesome. I've really enjoyed getting to the chance to actually chat with people who are like you and me, who are crazy about St. Joe's basketball. And like you said, we have some really cool stuff going on for next season as far as like sponsors go, and just really organizing an effort, a coalition, some may call it, toward St. Joe's basketball. So I'm getting pretty excited.
I would consider it a coalition. We got Matt Gifford joining our spaces. We are a coalition of brothers. We've had Martucci on. Joe, I know you listen. We're waiting for you, my friend. I know it's March Madness right now, but Mr. Lunardi, please come on the show. You have an open invitation. So yeah, I think it is a this is like Desert Storm. We are the coalition. But Pete, can we dive into the game a little bit? So I didn't get to do the spaces with you post Dayton, right? So we talked about the win over Loyola, which was a great win. We beat GW, for those who live under a rock, which was an awesome win. You think back to that heartbreak loss against GW during the season. We came back and beat them when they were at Hagen, but George Washington Colonials, who will no longer be the Colonial. We ended the Colonials run, literally. They're going to have a new name next year. That's how bad we beat them. I just think about that Fleming three. He hits that three with the big 2.5 minutes to go. Compare that to the three he missed in overtime to win the game, and he missed it and they lost in the regular season. So the redemption arc was there, and all we were waiting for was the Greer comeback game against Dayton. And they almost had it. They almost had the last laugh. Those last two or three steals, possessions, whatever you want to call it, tie-ups, so bad. Just like three calls that didn't go our way. We played excellent defense down the end. Billy Lang outcoached Anthony Grant for the final minute of play, 2 minutes of play. And now Grant's getting retired at this point, which is insane. And the whistle didn't go our way. But there is nothing you can say to me right now that says we didn't put our best foot forward. We didn't put the best effort. And all the young guys Reynolds, sheesh, this guy's so good. We're so lucky. Please do not leave. Do not leave me. Greer played really well, of course. Cameron Brown showed up when we needed him to. Hopefully, I don't know what, nothing's been announced about where he's going, but and then Fleming. Fleming's like icing on the cake. He's the best one out of all of them to see, like, really when he improves and he shows up as the big man. So, Pete, I think you can agree. This is how you were feeling after Dayton as well.
Yeah, I agree. We ended, like you said, we ended GW's colonial period. We put Anthony Grant in retirement. And Sister Jean, she was pretty upset too. So I think,
we retired Sister Jean. We have taken out some of the biggest and well-known names in the Atlantic 10.
She's disavowed. We gave them Mark Reed, and in return, we get Sister Jean. Yeah. So fortunately for us, we're gonna have Sister Gina at our basketball games next year. Not really, but that would be pretty,
Yeah.
that'd be pretty great.
And
No,
we passed, I forgot about that. We passed the curse of Mark Reed. We that it like the Passover itself, it went over the house into the next one.
it's pretty brutal. I mean, Loyola Chicago is currently like in conversation with basically every transfer in the portal right now. So they're really desperate. Like they're realizing they have a curse, and you can't break a curse, even though curses aren't a thing, but you know, it's pretty bad.
Yeah. But you were saying, I don't mean to interrupt you, Pete. Your feelings after the game?
Yeah, so after the Dayton game, I was at first really, I felt sad. I felt sad for guys like Cam Brown and Educate, who didn't even get to play, and you know, Anton and CJ, because it could have been their last time playing in a St. Joe's uniform. And that zone that they had going on, that 3-2 zone, it felt like the team really finally bought in and like took a stand during that like 8-minute stretch where Dayton was held scoreless. And it was awesome to see. And I was also really rooting for, you know, Lynn to have that revenge game. Didn't get it, but the effort was just, we've had conversations on here and elsewhere about how there is this sort of a sense of complacency at times that you can get from watching the team. It's March, so there is a reason to not be complacent. There's a reason to be engaged, and the guys looked at they looked good, Tony. I think to lose by 6 to Dayton is really like a good place for us to be, where we were really, we lost by 6, but it was a possession, it was a single possession game, and that was a good way to end the season, in my opinion.
Totally agree. But that puts us in the next part of the season, the off season. And I actually just, Pete, you'll see this from the Twitter account. Verbal Commits just tweeted, speaking of off season and my worries of the transfer portal, 2024 St. Joseph guard. Don't worry, it's St. Joseph, New Jersey, not Pennsylvania. I don't know who this guy is, but he's going to St. Francis. But man, I was worried there. It's that time of year when you see the verbal commits, they're tweeting out the word Saint Joseph, and I'm shaking in my boots over here.
I think that might be the first time I've ever seen like St. Joseph's, like new in parentheses, New Jersey, and actually been like, oh, good thing they put that. Like,
Thing they're in New Jersey and I'm not. But this does bring up a serious point, though. How worried are you about the transfer portal? Should, and I've seen this theory go around the internet, which is a great place. You know, the portal benefits the A10. The portal is best for A10 schools, which for Duquesne, it was really great. But we as St. Joe's really haven't capitalized on it. We capitalized on Obina, but that was the only one where it's like, wow, this guy was a difference maker for us, X, Y, and Z. What are your thoughts on the transfer portal? Are you more worried about people leaving than coming in?
portal is this beautiful thing that when you get in the portal, you love it. But when you lose in the portal, you hate it. And right now, I am fine because the door's closed, or the door is technically able to unlocked, but it's no one's gone through the door. And as far as I'm concerned, that's how I want my portal era to be. I don't want the portal to be used for much, unless it's bringing in a really high major guy who's gonna come bring us to, you know, the end of March.
Glory.
Yeah, bring us the glory.
Yeah.
But yeah, personally, I am a bit worried, because we'd be crazy not to be with some of the guys we have in our roster. But there's no speculation that I've heard from a reputable source to be actually like considerably worried.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the Eric Reynolds posts, the I'm not leaving, I'm here to stay, you know, rally the troops kind of. Because if he says that, everyone's staying. He's the linchpin. He is the one who matters most. And don't tell me he doesn't, because the boy, the man, that man just put on a show in March. when it mattered most, he showed up. And when he struggled against Dayton, he still played his hardest and he still found a way for us to win. We need him. And yeah, I agree. If we don't see any news in the next week or so, I may be going into April, May, feeling confident that we've got our roster for fall.
Yeah, there's some curious things going on out there. I've heard some speculation from some people that Cameron Brown could be back. I've heard some speculation that he could be gone. At the end of the day, I'd be happy. Like I said, nothing happening within the portal. So that means no one in, no one out. I'd be okay with that. I think we're in a really nice position if that's the case.
Yeah. If Cam, and I'll say this, I'll give Cam this because he's been so dedicated to the program. If he goes somewhere else for 1 year, he's the type of guy where I just go for it. If that's your thing, you dedicated, you're the first guy to dedicate 4 full years to the team under Billy Lang in the sense that you were recruited by the guy and you came when it wasn't anything. And maybe it's more beneficial for you to stay and foresee like, hey, in the 5 years you were here, you turned it around from what it was your freshman year to potentially winning the A-10 your senior year. I think that's a really great story. But, you know, as an athlete myself, dedicated to the team for 4 years, I had a grad school year. I know for a fact that, you know, coaches didn't really hold it against you as much. It's like you dedicated what you dedicated to us. If you go somewhere else, it's not that big of a deal because we got what we thought we had in you, the 4 years of play. So,
yeah, two-time captain, just the epitome of what it means to be a Hawk Hill guard. I am personally all on the same page as you. But I've also just selfishly would love to see him come back. Watching, I have circled on my bracket Utah State for a reason. Like I'm excited to see what Taylor Funk can do, but it would be awesome to see Cam Brown also playing in March in a St. Joe's jersey too.
You know, I've got Utah State winning a game. I got them advancing. Absolutely.
Them, a little, maybe irrationally far. I may have them in the lead eight. That's okay. Have you seen T Swish in the corner? I mean, he doesn't miss.
We know what that's capable of. No, Utah could go elite. I mean, their path isn't terrible. So it's not too crazy. You got to pick someone to go far.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, man, great transition. Who do you have winning the whole thing, Pete?
You know, if Sasser is feeling okay, I have Houston. You know, I saw him in person. I was sold. They blew us out of the water. I was like, must be the best team in the nation. Kelvin Sampson, he's getting it done. I also heard Kelvin Sampson is a big McDonald's. What's it called? McDonald's. He's a big McDonald's breakfast guy. And I felt like that was enough for me to also buy in on Kelvin Sampson, bringing Houston the championship.
I'm assuming you're a big McDonald's breakfast guy.
Yeah. I mean, come on. It's convenient. McDonald's, if you're listening, like
give sponsor. Yeah, there we go. Our first sponsor is McDonald's. Have it your way.
Yeah, I think.
Even though I said the king, the Burger King slogan.
No. Yeah. So for me, Tony, I have Houston. As long as, like I said, Marcus Sasser's healthy, I think they're an awesome team. I think their defense smothers people. I know they've had some tough losses, but tough losses are formative, right?
100%. That's how you get better. I have two brackets in the same pool, but I will give you my spicy pick. So this was the first bracket I came up with in the winter. I went with Marquette. It's Shaka season. Shaka and awe is the name of my bracket. And I'm riding the Kolek train, the T train. I think he's so good. It's incredible to think he played for George Mason. And now he's like one of the best guards in the country. Imagine if George Mason had kept the guy, but he was never going to stay if he was that good. And there's something about the Big East that I don't trust the Big Ten. Majority of my Final Four Elite Eight is Big 12 teams with a sprinkling of Pac-12 and some Big East squads. And I've got Houston in there. And I feel like I haven't picked Houston to win anything. But if Houston is a team that wins and I didn't pick them, I'm okay with that. Because that's a program where I'd be like very happy for them. They are not in really a power conference. Good for them that they won. So that's where I stand. I don't think Houston's a bad pick. And I actually kind of am rooting for them the most outside of just what I have in my brackets. So
I have a question related to the A10 and where you picked them in your bracket. How far do you have VCU making it, led by Mike Rhodes?
I have them winning one game. So they are one of my 12. I always pick two 12 seeds to win. Always happens every year. A 12 beats a 5. And I have VCU as one of my 12s. I have Utah State winning a game as well. So shout out Utah State. But I have VCU advancing that far, and then it stops. There's an abrupt stop after that. And I forget who did I have them losing to after VCU. I have them losing to UConn. And then I have UConn, Kansas in the final, in the Sweet 16. So
Beautiful. Yeah,
that's where I find myself.
I like it. I like it. I'll be up in Albany rooting for VCU because I'm a good A10 fan, so have to go up to Albany, make it happen.
Man, we should have fought for credentials.
Ooh.
Hawk Talk Podcast, Hawk Talk Podcast. I need a, put me in the front row next to Rothstein.
We're getting the scoop for when we get there next year. We need to know what the field is like, even though it's a different
We need
place.
to know what hotel to stay at
Yes,
as well.
we're getting reps in. We're in the
You're in
gym
the
for that.
Cuomo box, right? You're in the Cuomo box
Yeah, of course.
in Albany?
Yeah.
You and
Yeah.
the governor?
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna sit next to Ryan Daly and Governor Cuomo himself. It's just gonna be me and him.
Giuliani. It's an eclectic group.
Yeah. I mean, we're all St. Joe's fans at heart. We got that Hawk will never die spirit, so.
Here's a question. How far do you got Patino going?
Yeah, so he's also up
I
in
have them losing. I have them losing right away, unfortunately.
he's also up in Albany, so I'll get to see him in action. Yeah, not looking good against UConn, but that's just it's like literally Rick Pitino saying, "Hey, Big East, please hire me, St. John's. I want to be a coach of the Big East."
If he beats them with Iona, whew, that will be impressed. I will be thoroughly impressed. And
They
to
might
think he was
need
available when we were hiring coaches.
to be. Yeah. I've seen
Didn't
too
want to
many
take a risk.
people upset about that. Yeah.
I know, I remember that. Speaking of coaches, speaking of hiring, our transition game on point. How about our coach, Billy Lang, getting an extension?
Yeah. You know, I saw that tweet out from Rothstein saying, I feel good about Billy Lang and his future here at St. Joe's and the changes that, the progress that we've made as a team, and he'll be here for the foreseeable future. Tony, what do you think about the sort of verbiage from our athletic director?
I think they're tied together for the future. When one goes, the other will. I don't think there'll ever be a time when the two of them aren't at the program together. I truly think that's where this is at. And the good thing is we didn't win the A10, so we didn't have to delete our podcast. But I have a very good feeling that we're going to be talking about Billy Lang for a little while. It's not going away just yet.
Yeah, I think we have to start a hashtag for the time being because we're putting all of our poker chips on Billy. So we have to go Billy in instead of Billy out. I've seen too much Billy
Out.
out these last few years. Billy's in, man.
What about Lang Gang? I've subliminally put Lang Gang in my articles at A10 Talk, and it's never caught on. Maybe I'm just not the thought leader I thought I was, but Lang Gang, it sounds nice.
Ooh, Lang Gang has a bit of more of a rhyme to it, and I remember like people using it with like animosity towards Lang like halfway through the year, where like they were just like,
Chitty. I was going to say Chitty Chitty Lang Lang could go that route, like Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. There's a lot of different names that we could come up with that is better than Billy in or out. Because that sounds Billy out. I don't know. I'm not a big fan of that.
neither
I'm
am
not a big
I.
fan of that. And neither is the administration, if you think
No,
about it.
no. And no, I think it's a great idea to just give him time because it's not going to help anyone if Billy isn't able to recruit. And I think that extension gives him that leeway to recruit, bring in recruits. We want people, good players here at St. Joe's. Like this is an exciting time. Like Billy's actually worked really, really hard and the staff's worked really hard for this group that we have coming in. So I'm excited for it. And I think the extension was a necessary and good step from the athletic department.
I will say this. We're a top four A-10 team next year. If we find a small forward who's a senior, wants to play, wants to be on the team, and it's going to take a leadership role as a, as an upperclassman with Reynolds, just like how Obina was. We need a three. We need a wingman to play defense, because the Fleming and Kreese combination is going to be great defensively. The question is, who's going to be our third, our swingman defender? Because Reynolds and Greer, while they are, you know, they've improved on their ability to swipe at the ball and keep defenders in front of them, they're still a little small, right? So we need to figure that out.
It's true. I think a small forward would be what, for right now, given this roster, I would target in the portal. Because like you're saying, like having that type of versatility on defense is going to be important next year. Also curious to see who makes the jump, right? That's always the question. Which player on this team is going to make the jump that we need to be competitive? And I see like a few likely candidates. But yeah, we have 8 months to get into that. So
would we say that Reynolds has made the jump? Like he's arrived?
Oh yeah, Reynolds.
It's just waiting on who's going to be the guy who's the partner in crime. Absolutely. In the Lang gang.
Yeah, Reynolds is... Reynolds is the Batman within the Lang gang. And we have a few more guys coming in who could help. A
couple of Robinettes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Reynolds finished at the top 35 in the nation in scoring last year. So this year. So
sheesh. And the fact that he's above Jameer, right? Isn't he leading Jameer right now in scoring at this point in his career?
So he got to 1,000. I don't know if at this point he would lead Jameer because of how good Jameer was. I'm not really sure to answer that question because Jameer had monster senior season, but yeah.
But I'm saying when Jameer was a sophomore.
Yeah, he must.
And Reynolds is a sophomore.
He must be.
I would think they're close, but we'll verify. Yeah, but yeah.
We'll fact check.
Senior year is going to be a little hard to defeat to be the Naismith player of the year.
Yeah. But if we can keep Eric Reynolds for 4 years, that would also be... He'd go down as easily one of the best Hawks ever if we can get him for 4 years. Jeez.
Yeah, he would literally have to win an A-10. He has to win an A-10 title, but yeah.
Yeah.
He would easily. He would be considered. I'm not going to... Sorry, there's a lot of great Hawks out there. You don't get to be in the group if you don't win anything.
It's true. It's very true. I mean, we've had so many great Hawks, especially. It's disrespectful to think like he could be a top A-10, you know, top St. Joe's Hawk without winning an A-10 tournament and maybe winning a few games in March too.
Yeah, but we'll see. You got the Galloways, you got the Bembrys, you got West, you got Jameer. Like those are four guys could be hard to crack that top four, and there's other guys too that go even just beyond that. So that's just recent memory.
Man, if we can get him to stay for 4 years, though, that he'd give himself a decent shot at doing it.
He would. I'm all for it. I want it to happen. Pete, who are you feeding back there? I see you throwing. Are you feeding your dog?
I'm feeding my dog. He is just, he's hungry already for the St. Joe's.
For a victory.
Yeah, he's hungry.
Speaking of hungry, we know that you are planning for a wedding. And so the people want to know, what's the course menu? Because Pete, a little background to the fans. Pete and I were supposed to do a spaces, and I backed out of the spaces, but so did he. And it was for a food tasting. And so I was asking him before the show, what did you pick? But we're waiting. We said we're going to wait for the show to talk about it real quick, because I think it's interesting. It's going to reflect a lot about what Pete is, who he is, and how he thinks. The enigma. Right.
So we have two options right now. We haven't picked yet, but option one is, so nothing's set. So you can order at tableside, but option one is to forego that, you know, sort of option that they have, and just for the dinner option to be surf and turf, where you get lobster and steak. Option two is more like you get three options, and then you get to choose from like a salmon and a beef, I can't even remember the name of the dish right now, Tony. This is bad.
It's a beef Wellington?
It's not a beef Wellington. It's like a beef dish. Can't remember the name. This is bad. This shows you how my planning skills are.
It's gonna be
But
a
yeah.
great wedding.
Yeah, it's a beef. Ah, man, this is pretty bad. I'm blanking right on the spot. Beef dish wedding.
Pete is 100% a groomzilla. Total control freak. Has to be perfect. There's gonna be doves released at the right time on the sandy white beach.
Yeah, can't remember it. But anyway, you'll be able to pick table side basically, no matter what. But actually, this would, how do you feel about that option? Like, no, you don't get the pick. You just get surf and turf. I feel like that's nice, but if you don't like lobster, you're kind of put in a
So
weird
I've got a
position.
great alternative to this, and it's tableside service. You ready?
Yeah, I'm
A
ready.
large skewer of lamb that has been rotating on a spigot for hours, and it's halal. So for all of your kosher halal guests, they can eat it. It's an Al Sham catered wedding. They come around like Fogo de Chão, but instead of like the steak on the skewer, it's just this big wheel of lamb meat. What's you're like a, it's the theme is Middle Eastern bazaar. People will be like, this is a bizarre wedding.
I mean, so Al Sham is providing the catering to my wedding and for free. They've dubbed it for free.
This is our new sponsor.
They're our best sponsor. Yeah, so looking forward to having some the New York special at my wedding. Not too much hot sauce. Not too much hot sauce though, because
Oh no, I totally forgot about the New York special. That is hysterical.
yeah. Everyone will have the option for, the
Extra white sauce, please.
extra white sauce, right?
You've
Exactly.
heard of a pickleback shot, but have you ever tried a white Russian with the white garlic sauce from Al Sham? Chef's kiss.
Just goes down right. It just goes down right. Okay. It just does.
It just goes down, period. Oh, but I don't know, like, what do you mean by serve at the table? Just to clarify, like they show up and they're like, here you go.
So they show up and they're like, you know how usually in advance you have to say, okay, I'll have steak or I'll have salmon, and you send that back in your RSVP. They show up at the table and they're like, okay, do you want steak or salmon, or do you want like the
Oh,
vegetarian?
okay. Okay,
Yeah.
gotcha. That's much more traditional of what I thought it would be. Like, I've been to so many weddings where it's a buffet. Not a buffet guy. So I think you're on the right track here. 100%.
Thanks.
Just we're missing the wheel of meat.
Yeah, there may or may not be the St. Joe's mascot there too, the hawk. So,
Are you paying the hawk to show up?
I mean,
You've got that Twitter bio photo of you in the hawk helmet.
all
I don't
right, you
even know
know
how you
what?
got that to
The
happen.
so this
That's
has
been
to
a
come out
mystery.
at some point. So, I have actually been the hawk before, Tony.
What?
Yeah, I've been the hawk before.
When were you the hawk? This is breaking news.
This is breaking news. This is pretty big. It doesn't get bigger than this. I was the hawk
Huge.
at a wedding in Washington, D.C., and it was at the Four Seasons. And I took a limo there. And I also met at the hotel, I met Conan O'Brien.
What?
Yeah. So I met Conan O'Brien as I was like walking by. Like
I love Conan O'Brien.
I wasn't in like the costume yet. So it wasn't like, oh, Conan, look, it's me, the hawk. But he sort of walked by me, I walked by him. And then a few hours later, I had a nice little steak dinner downstairs. And then I went upstairs and, did my jam. I was the hawk.
How did you get picked for this? Why didn't the real hawk do it? Not to say you're not the real hawk.
I know people in places and
Very low, dark, deep places.
So yeah, I was the hawk. That's my fun fact of the day. Doesn't get more fun than that. I didn't
You've
think I'd ever
hidden
share that.
this for 2 seasons that
Yeah.
you met Conan.
Yeah. No, it was a significant day, actually. So that day I ran the Philly rock and roll half marathon, and the next day, and then I went to the wedding, and then the next day I started dating my now fiance. So
It is all the stars align. It is all coming together now. Now we know who you really are.
I had to put on the hawk. I had to put it on
How did
before
it
I knew what I
smell?
was. Terrible. It was just disgusting.
And did you flap? Did you flap at the wedding?
Oh, of course, the entire time. You can't stop flapping. It's just people are like, "Hey, can I take a picture?" Yeah, you're like, "Yeah, sure," but I can't stop. You're kind of like,
Oh, wow.
"Yeah."
That is crazy.
Yeah, you didn't, the more you know. I have some tacit knowledge about what it's
You
like,
do.
you know?
Boom. That's what we're talking about, tacit knowledge. That's
Yeah.
exactly what we're talking about.
I know what the Hawk Will Never Die spirit is all about.
Bingo. I think that's a great place to end the episode then, Pete. Wrap it up.
All right. This was an awesome episode. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We have a lot of really fun stuff coming up. You know, it is the summer, it is the off season, but that means that we get to really, you know, master our craft. So if you have any insights into the show that you'd want to share with us, please DM us. We've really loved hearing from you guys. We're always looking to improve next season. We'll continue doing what we do, and we really like what we do because we have really great feedback from you guys. And yeah, looking forward to it. And as always, the Hawk will never die.
They're playing basketball.
All around the
We
world.
Love their basketball.
To the beach,
They're
y'all.
playing basketball.
Let's go. All around the
We
world.
love their basketball.
Y'all know this is so
They're playing
dead.
basketball.
To the beach, y'all.
Favorite sport. I like the way they dribble up and down the court. I keep it so fresh on the microphone. I like no interruption when the game is on. I like slam dunk to take me to the hoop.
Yeah.
My favorite play is the alley-oop. I like to pick and roll. I like to give and go. And it's